My name is Michelle O'Will. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 23rd of August 2009, and the time is 10:18 a.m. Could I ask your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
My name is John Watts. I'm 40 years old, and I come from Andover in Hampshire.
How are you doing?
Nervous.
Are you nervous about anything in particular?
It's going on the plinth. That's about it, yeah.
Have you been looking forward to it, though?
I have been. It seems a bit more real now. I'm here and just hope my suit turns up on time and we get up there and all goes okay.
What's the suit that you're waiting for?
I'm told it's a big blue clock and signifies that one man dies from prostate cancer in the UK every hour. It seems quite apt.
And what is it that means this is something close to your heart?
My grandfather died of prostate cancer a few years ago now, but it stuck with me and he kept it a bit of a secret from everyone else. We didn't know that he was suffering until afterwards. And it seemed a bit strange and sad, really, that it felt like that. So.
Do you have any idea why he kept it to himself?
No. Don't know. He was quite an intimidating man, so I didn't ask him too many questions. He was a former policeman.
Is he the only person you know that's been touched by him?
So far, yeah.
So okay. How did you get in contact with the charity?
I looked online for a worthy charity I thought I could help support. Found the prostate cancer charity, sent them an email, and they were more than helpful in help sorting something out.
Can you tell me a little bit more about them and what they do?
They try to raise awareness for prostate cancer throughout the country, raise funds for awareness and research and things like that.
Had you thought about doing anything else, or did you know that you always wanted to do something for charity?
Well, initially I didn't have a clue when the email came saying that I had the place. I thought, oh right, think of something. So talked with a few friends and colleagues, finally had the idea of supporting a charity, seemed a worthwhile thing, and just to stand up there didn't seem a bit of a waste, really. So support a charity, which one? That had family links, so gave him an email.
And what's been the reaction of your family and friends to you taking part in this project?
They've been positive. Yeah, I've told everyone at work and they're all quite supportive. A few people have taken a piss of it, but that's to be expected, I guess.
Do you know anyone else that's applied?
Yeah, a few people applied, I know, of after it started. But after the applicants started rocketing, and I suppose I was lucky that I applied before it started and was a better odds of getting in, I suppose.
Can you remember what it was initially about the project that appealed to you?
Something out of the ordinary, something to do on a... up in London for a day. It was something different, I guess. I suppose... something different, odd.
Do you say you're the sort of person that likes to do things that are slightly unusual?
Now and then. Don't make it a rule, but now and then it's okay. I can handle embarrassment for an hour, I guess.
What's embarrassing about it?
Wearing a big blue clock, I suppose, on a plinth.
You've chosen to do this.
Yeah, well, I can handle it for a bit.
And who's come along with you today?
My family, wife and three children. My mum and dad are showing up, a couple of friends from work.
How old are your children?
6, 2, and 8 months.
Does the oldest know what you're doing?
Yeah. Yes, we've been watching the programmes on Sky Arts. He's been supportive, telling me things I could do up there. Not very practically.
What sort of thing?
Oh, you could throw huge great objects off the side. Throw me sweets all the time. So, yeah, they've been kind of dismissed fairly quickly. But.
And are you working?
I am. I work for a large communications company.
Tell me a little bit more about your role, what you do.
I support radio systems for public safety in this country and all around the world. I'm just one of a team of many members who help support these people who when they have problems, we sort them, try and fix them as quickly as we can. Because if your ambulance can't talk to anyone, they tend to get a bit annoyed. So.
How many years have you done that for?
8.5 years now.
And what kind of training did you have to do for that?
It's they run on-the-job training, really. You can apply for various training courses on different aspects of the systems. But it's prior experience, really, that got me the job of repairing mobile telephones. But that industry seems to be going downhill a bit, or was going downhill a lot at the time, so I wanted to get out of that and get into something else.
Where did you grow up?
In a town called Southwood and Ferrers in Essex. And I've stayed there most of my life. We spent 2 years in Sweden when I was growing up, and another few months in the States. And then I spent 3 years in Italy fixing mobile phones in my 20s, which was a good laugh.
How did that come about?
I had a friend I worked with in the UK, and he left and went off somewhere else for a few months, didn't hear anything from him. Then he came back and was telling me, I said, "Oh, do you work for this company who makes marine equipment?" "No." "Where have you been anyway?" "Oh, do you know so-and-so from NEC?" And yeah. So I gave him a call, went out for a weekend to check it out, liked it, went back, and stayed for 3 years.
Where were you living?
I stayed for a year near Milan, and then another 2 years in Rome. And came back in 95. So, it was good. Got in touch, made a good few friends out there. Had a good time.
In touch?
Some of them. Yeah.
What struck you most when you moved over there?
Oh, the differences. No one spoke English, and I didn't speak Italian. Not at all. So I was kind of isolated for a while. I was in a little village to start with, and there was nothing there. I had to take a train or bus anywhere to do anything, and it was getting a bit boring. But then they opened an office in Rome, and that was great. I was just out every night in the Irish bars, going running with the Hash House Harriers.
That's who?
The Hash House Harriers. They're an expatriate, mainly expatriate, group of people who, their slogan is, it's a drinking club with a running problem. They tend to meet up at weekends or evenings in a bar somewhere, go for a run that's marked out with the flower, with false trails and swift checkbacks. And then go in a big loop, meet up at the bar afterwards, and spend the rest of the evening there. And it's a good way of meeting people, making new friends, seeing a lot of the countryside, because you could do runs out in the countryside or in the town or the city itself. And they're a good organisation. They have chapters all over the world. And every 2 years they have an interhash, which is where every hash in the world gets together in one place and go running around the local countryside. I'm sure bemusing the local residents.
How did you find them?
Oh, they're always recruiting around the bars I hung out in. So, anyone want to join the hash? Nah, go away. And then one day I decided, yeah, why not? And I did about 25 or so before I left. So, yeah. All good fun.
Is there one in the UK?
Yeah, all over. I know there's one in Essex, there's several in London. There's probably 50 or 60, probably more.
Have you been to one since you moved back?
Yeah, it's not the same though. When I was in Rome, you got the expat sort of atmosphere. Over here it seemed a bit clicky, and I went to a few, but it just wasn't the same. I didn't bother in the end. If I ever lived abroad again, it's something I'd definitely do.
What were you doing in Sweden and the States?
My dad worked for a car company, doing contract design on fault for Volvo and General Motors, and the work took us over there, so I went to school out in Sweden and the States for a while until the contract finished and we came back.
What was Sweden like?
Fabulous. I was 9, 11, between 9 and 11 when we were there, and I used to go on buses all on my own. I used to go sledging in the woods just behind our house, skiing, running around Gothenburg all hours. It was great when I was growing up.
Did vaccines?
Never. Something I want to do.
With your family?
Yeah, show them where I used to go to school, where I used to live. Yeah. I still have the sledge I used to have out there, which I recently restored, and in the snow we had earlier this year, I got my son out on it as well. So that was fun.
Was that the first time you'd used it?
Yes. He'd seen it a few times before, but we'd never had the snow to use it, so that was good.
Mm. How did you meet your wife?
We both worked at the same company near Banbury, repairing mobile phones, and she worked there. She says now that she, as soon as she walked in the first time, she saw me and said, "Mom." So that was it, really. Didn't have a chance after that.
Do you remember what your thoughts were?
Not bad.
What would you say is important to you in life at the moment?
Family, work, the house we're just about to buy. In that order.
Whereabouts is the house?
In Andover. It's a new build, so going through the options meetings and forking out lots of money.
And how do you feel about making that kind of commitment?
Well, we won't move again. We need a bigger house for the children. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Tell me a little bit about Andover. What's that like as a place?
It's a fairly quiet town, 20 miles past Basingstoke. It's fairly sleepy, really. It was expanded a lot after the war. It was overspill from London after the bombing. So there's quite a lot of social housing there. But it's a nice place, near the countryside. It's not too, lots of little villages around the bounds. One of which my son goes to school in. So, yeah, it's nice.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
I think I'd probably say I'm fairly introverted, easygoing, fairly calm, relaxed most of the time. Can get nervous in public. But, confident. Yeah.
How do you cope as an introvert, being in front of people and talking to people?
I think there's a place you can go. I mean, I won't choose normally to put myself in a public eye. But if it comes about, then I think there's somewhere you can put yourself that forces you to become more outgoing, and if you're up there with lots of people looking at you and you're expecting you to do something, I can usually do something, whether it's what they expect or what they want, who knows, but something will happen.
Some of your colleagues going to be watching you on
the
now?
They have said they will, and they've said they might watch it afterwards on the recorded one, so see what they think when I get back to work.
Are you asking for donations online for your charity?
I did put an email around at work saying anyone who'd care to donate. I didn't get much of a response, but I got some.
You're on the plinth, how do people...
Well, basically I'm there just to raise awareness. I haven't asked for sponsorship in any way.
Are you going to be talking to anybody on the web?
I'll make a few statements, I think, while I'm up there. But the charity are going to set up a table underneath and hand out flyers and stuff from there as well. I'll let them do most of the talking.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yes. Yes, should be interesting while I'm up there. Hopefully fun too.
And how are you planning to spend the rest of the day?
Walking around London for a bit, and get something to eat somewhere, and then take the train back sometime this afternoon.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I think that just about covers it.
Thank you very much indeed.